Welcome to the America's Jobs Team podcast. Every week, we dive deep with economic development professionals on leadership and other issues challenging our industry. Our goal is to equip listeners with the knowledge to grow their impact and influence. You are America's Jobs Team, and when you get stronger, communities thrive. Hey, hey, everyone. I'm Faye, and today's episode is awesome. Tammy Fields, who is the Senior Vice President of Economic Development at the Colorado Springs Chamber and EDC, joins me, and she really has awesome thoughts and very practical advice on not only communicating your organization's importance with your elected leadership, but also how to build and maintain strong relationships with those folks. She also has really great insights about the shift from economic development being a purely business attraction industry to needing to focus more on placemaking and collaboration with community development organizations. Tammy is one of North America's top 50 economic developers, and I think after this interview, you'll understand why she is on that list if you don't already. So are you ready? Here we go. Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the America's Jobs Team podcast. I'm here today with Tammy Fields, who is the Senior Vice President of Economic Development at the Colorado Springs Chamber and EDC. Tammy, I'm so excited that you're here. You are one of our top 50 awardees this year, and I'm grateful that you're taking the time to talk with us.
Thank you so much, Faye. I'm super excited to be honored with this, and I'm super excited to just visit with you. So you and I met about a little over a year ago for the first time at Economics. So I'm excited that you're my interviewer.
It's so fun because it seems like so long ago that we were in person together, and it's only a year and 2 months ago. Like, that's wild to think about.
It is.
Tammy, you have been in economic development for 27 years. Mm-hmm. And I would love to know how you got into the profession, but also what makes you stay.
Sure. Well, I think, you know, like probably a lot of people, I got into economic development probably completely by accident or by destiny, I guess, however you want to look at it. I was working as an executive assistant. I had worked as an executive assistant for a local land developer, as well as for an environmental company. So I had that, you know, experience. My husband and I had just put our house on the market and had a contract on some land to purchase and build a new home. And I got laid off. And so it was like, okay, what are you going to do? So I went looking for jobs. This was the days before the internet. And so things weren't quite as easy to find. I was having some struggles with, you know, finding the right thing. And I went to a local staffing agency who had contract with the Economic Development Corporation at that time. And they were looking for a new executive assistant for the executive vice president of marketing, who was the person who handled all the business attraction efforts for the organization. I didn't know anything about economic development when I took that job. I spent 7 years working under that individual who at the time was one of the best economic developers in the country. She was very well known. And I, you know, that really provided a really great foundation for me. And so I learned economic development from the roots up. You know, and that was just, it gave me a passion and a love more for businesses and my community, as well. And so, you know, over the years, my role changed as leadership changed. I took on more and more responsibility and eventually became the lead for the business attraction for the organization. And I've been doing that for about the last 15 or 16 years now. So, for quite some time.
I love that, Tammy. I dig your story because I started in economic development as an executive assistant. So I can relate to your to where you came from and where I don't know where you are now. I love that because it's very relatable for me. It was also an accident that I ended up in economic development. And it's like you said, it feels like destiny most of the time. It's a great industry to be in. We just talked about how we saw each other in 2019. So there's a lot that has happened since then. Yep. It feels weird to say that I saw you in 2019,
I know.
But 2020 was wild. And how did you experience it? What is what was like your biggest challenge that came through last year? And how did you either overcome it or what are you doing to remedy it right now?
Well, it's, you know, so for someone in my position who has a focus on attracting new business to your community, really challenging with not having, for one, the ability to travel and for, you know, for people to come in and really look at your community. And, you know, really with so many projects on hold, that has been a real challenge because they're, you know, and I don't blame businesses. They're really struggling with, you know, they're not comfortable making long-term decisions. They, you know, they don't know what next year is going to look like for them, much less 5 and 10 years down the road. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, all those plans are on hold. That's really hard to deal with. It's hard for somebody to, in my position, to provide results, you know, to deliver results for my organization and for my community. And, you know, it's with that, it's really hard to stay motivated because you're not seeing what you would consider normal successes in what your work is providing. And so that's been a challenge. And I think there's, you know, the engagement is over virtual things. It's, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. I'm actually very thankful for Zoom because you can at least have some face-to-face interaction. So when I just have a normal phone call with people now, I kind of miss seeing their face. And, you know, so it's actually kind of created an interesting dynamic. But, you know, that's the biggest challenge is just trying to overcome the challenges that we don't even know are before us and trying to provide results. And I think, you know, also Zoom fatigue and frankly, the lack of physical movement, because I find myself sitting at my desk more hours of the day than I would normally when I'm getting up and I'm going to meetings and different things like that, because all my meetings are right here in this chair. So yeah. So that's been it, you know, made it a little bit interesting.
It is hard, especially when you look at, and I love what you said about, you know, because all of these things are on hold, you're not seeing results, which then creates this, it's this endless, it's like a self-fulfilling cycle, right? Like no results, no motivation, no results, no motivation. When you're not able to cross things off the list or like meet those little milestones. And what you said about sitting more, that's a big thing. And I actually want to dive a little bit more into that, is that in this climate, right, in what we're seeing in today's world and with all of these things going virtual, not only are we sitting more and probably having more meetings than we ever had, because in the past you'd have travel time between meetings. You don't really have that anymore. You just click from one to the next. But those lines between your home life and your work life get very blurred. So how do you set your boundaries to make sure that you still have energy and you do have as much as you can a proactive focus on keeping your motivation?
Well, I would say that, you know, the pandemic has certainly allowed me to have a different sense of a work-life balance. You know, it's easier for me to say, okay, I need to stop right now and put things down. And then I'm, you know, really instantly with my family rather than, now I have to get in a car and I have to drive home and those kinds of things. So it's helpful from that aspect that I can, you know, shut it off. I can go have dinner with my family. I can come back if I need to. And so it's changed that a little bit. And I think for, you know, motivation, it's, you know, just continuing to think that there's going to be an end in sight here and things will get to a new normal, whatever that looks like. And so, you know, there's still projects out there. There will be projects out there. The world is not going to stop turning. So, you know, we just have to be ready for that. It's just, you know, really thinking outside the box and having been in this industry for nearly 27 years, there's been a lot that's changed over that time. You know, the internet was a huge disruptor for the industry.
Yeah. You just created the perfect segue. You said there's been a lot that has changed in over the course of your career in economic development. And you have some really great thoughts about that shift from being a purely business attraction industry to adopting more of a placemaking strategy. So can you elaborate a little bit more on that?
Sure. So when I started in this business, companies landed wherever they wanted to go. You know, they went where they wanted to go. It is now flip-flopped. Companies follow the talent. So it's become all about how do you attract that talent? How do you create the talent that you need to really then attract those businesses? So it's become more blurred line, I think, between economic development and community development. They're very much tied together in some regards because that talent is really a key to being able to attract those companies. And you don't only have to think about, you know, where a certain type of talent, but you also have to think about generational talent. So talent varies depending on the generation. So you have to be a place that really can accommodate and have something to offer for everyone. And, you know, this is something that our community has really started to pay a much greater attention to over the last, you know, 5 to 10 years. And that has been, you know, creating more of a location that not only is a great location to attract talent to, but it's also a better location for us as citizens where we want to live, you mm-hmm. know, and then you throw in the whole pandemic, that's created a whole nother layer to things where you have a whole new dynamic around a greater remote workforce and those kinds of things. So it's just been really interesting. Our community has done a lot of local initiatives to investments in our infrastructure, investments in community assets and those kinds of things. So it's a key point in what we need to be doing as economic developers and tying that community development piece to how we can attract the talent that we need and desire for our businesses.
So you just talked about how your community, you know, it's a community effort, making it a better place for you all to live as citizens as well. And a lot of economic developers struggle with keeping their local elected leadership on board. And I'm getting the vibe that you guys have a very positive relationship with your elected leadership. So do you have any, you know, trade secrets or go-to methods of keeping your local elected leaders not only onboarded onto what economic development is, why it's important, but also keeping those relationships strong over time?
Sure. Well, we do stay really connected with our elected leadership. They're key partners of ours. We need them. They make a lot of community decisions. And so we need to kind of bring them along. We need to make sure that they know what we're doing. We actually meet with elected candidates, you know, so before the election even happens and try to, you know, help them to understand the community better, as well as, you know, economic development and the initiatives that we have that we, you know, bring to the table. Our leadership meets with our elected officials, our city council, our county commissioners, even our federal delegation, our state delegation. They meet with them regularly to make sure that they're, you know, we're kind of all on the same page and they know what we're doing and we can help them drive different initiatives and make sure that we are the most business-friendly location that we can possibly be. And so we do all of those things. We try to keep them apprised of various things that are going on. For instance, if we're working a huge project and we're about ready to announce it, you know, we want to kind of bring them a little bit into the fold because they don't like to have surprises. So, you know, it's creating this relationship and this comfort level between all those parties that I think really makes a difference in making sure that you have everybody on the same page.
Tammy, I love that. I love that because it shows that there is such intentionality behind your strategy to keep your elected leadership in the know and focused and across party lines. Being pro-business doesn't have to designate you as one party or another. It just means that you are for your community. And I love the very practical tips that you just gave. When I'm thinking about local elected leadership, and I feel like you're very wise. You have given us a lot of really great talk, you know, things to think about, things to talk about amongst each other. I am wondering, is there like a tough lesson that stands out in your career that you have had to learn, you know, one situation that really drove home a lesson? And what is the lesson that came out of that? What is your advice for others?
I don't know if I can pick out one specific thing that, you know, taught me a lesson, but I think just having been in this business for as long as I have, it has been, you know, that tomorrow's a new day. You know, don't get hung up on the project that you lost. I mean, it's really hard to lose a project that you have worked months and sometimes years on to land in your community, and you really felt like you had it in the bag, and the project either dies on the vine, it never happens at all, or for some odd, strange reason, they pick this other community that, you know, is just your head scratching, you know, on it. So, but there's always another project around the corner. Don't let it get you down. I think it's an overall really good life lesson in general to, you know, that tomorrow is a new day. Move on. You know, you have to be able to let it go. And so it's, I think you learn lessons from every project that you work on. But I think overall, it's being able to move yourself forward and continue to look to the next day and what you have in front of you.
I love that. On the flip side of that, I want to end on this question. Tammy, what is, when you're looking back on your career, your entire career, what is the thing that you are most proud of?
Well, I think mainly my longevity in the business. I think that's a little bit rare because it is a hard business. It's, you know, it's difficult sometimes with all the things that come at you. So I would say my longevity in the business, and honestly, because I've been in my community, I was born and raised in this community, and just being able to drive around my community and see all the businesses that I have been involved with, that I've had an impact on, you know, helping bring new jobs to our community for our citizens. I'm just really, really proud of that.
As you very much should be. That has got to be an amazing feeling, driving around, being able to see the effects of your career, you know, all around you. Tammy, I want to say thank you for your time today, for all of the hard work that you do to make your community better, and for sharing your candid lessons and your advice with all of us and with our listening audience. So thank you. And I really hope that we get to connect in person again soon.
Me too. Thank you so much, Faye. Thank you, Consultant Connect, for this honor. I really appreciate it and this recognition.
Thanks for sticking with us to the very end. And again, a huge thank you to our sponsors, Research on Investment and Gazelle AI. The America's Jobs Team podcast releases episodes every week that are specifically curated for economic developers like you looking to stay in the know about industry trends, leadership development, career management, growing high-performing organizations, and so much more. So don't forget to subscribe. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon Podcasts, or really any other preferred podcast outlet that you use. America's Jobs Team is audio engineered by Joshua Wieters and produced by Faye Davis.